Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
I don't know if you had an intro ready or not, but I have to ask you if you know this.
Oh,
the sky is falling.
Oh, yep, there it is.
Did you know that? I don't know if you had anything planned, but I just need you to know this right now. On March 3rd, 2020, Dave Van Horn has got to go.
And I've seen that on the Twitter. I've seen just some
pretty awful, he's old and washed up.
Pretty awful things about Martin. I saw Goodhart needs glasses. That one kind of confused me.
Well, at this point, they're just working on a promotion deal. Don't read too much into that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going straight into the old baseball side of things because we're recording this fresh off number four.
Four straight losses.
Loss number four. It's almost like there isn't any more games to be played.
Well, the season, we've played 11. The season's over, so. Mm-hmm. We missed our opportunity. I mean, baseball doesn't even have as many games in it as football does. So we done, man.
Yep.
It was a good run. You know, we started off 7-0. I mean, looked good. Kind of did like the basketball team did, but we done. So we got to go.
Been real.
All right, good recording.
Good show.
Talk to y'all Thursday.
Yep.
What the hell, bro? The season that everybody's looking forward to, the season... I mean, literally 6 minutes ago, people were talking about Van Horn, Hall of Fame coach, best to ever do it. And now after after three, he's terrible. He's washed up. He's past his prime. He can't coach these young kids. He can't communicate to the young generation.
And as our buddy Ryan Folk says on Twitter, this is the first four-game losing streak by Arkansas since. Checks notes last year.
And
the immediate argument that people get give is that, okay, yeah, but last year we lost to four teams or teams that had a higher win percentage.
They were better teams.
They were better teams last year.
Yep.
Were they?
And?
And?
Does that buzzer still on the board or have you got it cleared up?
Yeah. And this year, the opponent's win percentage during that four-game losing streak, opponent number one, 78%, opponent number
compared
two.
Compared to last year?
Yeah. Hang on. 90% for this year, 70% for opponent number three. Opponent number four, which is...
Not good.
Illinois, that was 30%. So there is the black mark there. Now last year, opponent number one, 67%. Opponent number two. 68%. Opponent number three, 38%. Opponent number four, 76%. Calm down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I thought there was one coach that we wouldn't have to worry about this. I completely understand jumping off on the whole Chad Morris side of things, you know? You lose four in football, okay. You know? All right, fine. You know, we could lose four straight track meets. We're still okay, right?
Right.
I don't know, because as soon as that gets wind to the Twitterverse, they're going to be wanting to shut down the whole track program.
I don't understand. I agree with you 100% that the, you know, Van Horn should be the one.
You know,
that's
they've lost four games in the hockey club people. They've lost four games. Might as well shut down the hockey, whatever they want to call themselves. So, nope, not happening. No more. Lose games, no more. End of the world. It's over. Stop it. Can we not give Dave Van Horn the benefit of the doubt?
The crazy thing is we're back-to-back College World Series appearances with the best recruiting class in Van Horn's history at Arkansas. I don't know about his total coaching history, but history in Arkansas. The only problem right now, yeah, the bats have been a little light and all that, but really the problem is the pitching rotation. Well, guess what the problem was early in the year last year? Pitching rotation. Because if you remember... Your co-host here was hard on Campbell. the first few games that he started because he wasn't doing good. Yeah. And he turned it around. That's the first thing that you got to get going in baseball is your pitching.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say, you know, because the bats has kind of been brought up, but it's more or less a it's timely hitting that's not happening.
That's what it is,
we,
yeah.
We are stranding people on bases. We are making contact. Might not be power. I don't necessarily know if maybe we have to rethink some stuff because, you know, maybe a little bit more small ball, be a little more aggressive. Haven't really been seeing a lot of the base stealing or anything of that sort. But the biggest thing right now is obviously defense and pitching. But all of that comes with time.
And the problem I have, too, right now with everybody freaking the hell out is the games have been within a run or two. Granted, the runs have come later, but, I mean, just, I don't know. I really was really surprised on Twitter. I figured there would actually be a lot of Van Horn support. Like, oh, it's Van Horn. And there's a lot of that. You know, he's a go. We trust him, all that crap. But people jumped off quick. Man, I don't understand it. I mean, the largest margin loss was against Oklahoma 6-3 over these past four games. Every other one has been one run. So chill. We play again Friday. We got a series with South Alabama. I assume they're probably not very good. I don't know, but
it's the same about Illinois. I mean, today was ugly, but again, technically battled.
Hey, we were leading in all those games. I do believe, right?
Yeah, except I mean, there Texas, was leads maybe. At times. I mean, what more can you ask it? You know, you want them to roll over at that point? It's really early, people. It's really early.
I mean, for what we've ran into, and again, today is Tuesday. They lost today. By the time people hear this, it'll have been over. And we don't play again until Friday. It's against South Alabama. And then we have a two-game midweek series with Grand Canyon. So
it'd be cool to play in there.
We've got some games to right the ship. We've got some games to get things figured out. He benched Casey Martin. Like, he's not playing around.
And then what happened?
Oh, he just came back. Well. And
he had a glove for some plays. Huh. It's almost like Dave Van Horn knows what he's doing.
He came back, had five at-bats, hit four of them, you know. Got to run. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Interesting, though. I did not know this. Kind of scrolling through the calendar here. We play Oklahoma again. So that could be, you know, later in the season and all that stuff. We could, you know, if we get that win, split the series with them technically, right?
Yeah. I'm sure they'll hang their hat on the off-season scrimmage thing they had, because technically they won that, but
the 18 inning game?
Yeah, when we didn't have 17 kid wonder Robert Moore.
That dude's bad. That dude's bad. But yeah, we got like five games to get this right before conference play starts, and we're gonna go, you know, we said this when baseball started too, we're like, we're gonna drop some games.
Didn't think it'd be like this. Didn't think it'd be this early.
It's never fun losing to Texas, ever. I don't give a damn what. It could be hockey. If we lose to them in hockey, I'm going to be pissed about it. But none of those teams are bad teams. So, like you just pointed out in the rundown, all of them had above 70% win percentage this year. So
I feel like it just stings a little extra when it's OU in Texas. Trust me, I know. I wanted a Texas win. As much as the next guy, that didn't happen. I don't get a trash talk in coworkers when I go to work. So that is unfortunate. We move along. The sun rises, and we will beat some Longhorn ass in the future. No.
I like that. I like that. I'm a little fired up there. The friend of ours, Kenny, that we brought up a time or two, is all of a sudden a baseball fan because he realized they were ranked.
And then they played Arkansas.
Yeah, and they did beat us, so that was the largest deficit there, 6-3, like I said. So that was...
Yeah.
That was tough.
I can deal with Kenny. It's Texas, though.
The Texas ones.
It's the Texas that really gets to me, man. His Texas losses have always hurt. But makes the wins so much better. I can live on a Texas bowl seeing Brandon Allen do his thing.
He did his thing. Yeah. Man, we need those days back, actually.
And better. So.
Better than those days? Yeah, absolutely.
I'd much rather just kick ass in the state of Texas and not even play Texas because they ain't even bowl eligible.
That, I mean, that is a win regardless of what's happening, right? That's an extra
you're in a decent bowl if you're playing inside Texas for football. So if you're there, so worst case, you're at the Texas Bowl. Best case, maybe they have the national championship that year. Either way, I'm happy.
Not sure how that happened, but we ended up on football talking about baseball.
That's fine. And I can keep doing that. We can talk some combines. It's almost like I meant to do that, Jordan.
That's what I was pointing at.
It's almost like I meant to do it.
You ain't that good.
I'm a little.
I just want to point out here, Cam Curl, I take a little bit of pride in benching and stuff, you know, weightlifting. Mm-hmm. This little dude goes out there and bench presses 24 reps of 225.
And still wasn't happy with it.
Tell me who saw that coming besides Cam Curl.
Greg Curl.
Yeah, Greg. Okay. Tell me who saw that coming besides those two. I'll give you that one.
And Mama Curl. I can't remember.
And his, I can't either. So Curl ran a 4.640, which I'll be honest with you, kind of surprised me. There are a couple cases during his career here at Arkansas that you're like, man, he kind of slow. But then there was others where you're like, man, he got there quick. So 4.6 was kind of surprising to me. Like I said, 24 bench press reps, 34 and a half vertical, which is pretty damn good for those of you at home that don't know. And is that, I don't do broad jump. Is that 125?
That's the inches.
Well, yeah, inches. Okay. And then Sosa out there running like a freak athlete. He got a 4.940. With 27 bench presses. And then Scooter Harris, two-time SEC tackle leader, not counting postseason, because he was never in it. He runs a 4.6940, which kind of surprised me. I figured, you know, might be a little bit quicker. He looked quicker sometimes. I don't know. Football speed's different than straight line anyway.
Linebacker, man. Come on, man.
No, that's good. I mean, besides that one dude from freaking, was it Clemson? Isaiah Simmons?
You know Simmons. Don't sit here and act like you're an Arkansas fan and not know who Simmons is.
And he bench pressed 18. Yeah. And then O'Grady out there running a 4.840 and only benched 16 reps. I'm going to say he probably did not prepare quite as well as the others.
Ooh, shot to his history. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
You think they get drafted in that order?
It's team needs, man. It's always weird when you talk like that, you know? But clearly, if you watch tape, you want Scooter, right? You want him. Yeah, he can be a project. He could be a Belichick project. My God, imagine that.
I'm sure there's a certain 49er that's making an argument for someone to join them.
Yeah, his coverage will have to get better, but again, you'll get that work. Sosa, I'm thinking, is the first draft pick because people are going to watch that tape and they're going to say, like we've been saying all season, just because he ain't making plays don't mean he ain't affecting plays.
In terms of most pro-ready, it's Sosa and Curl. Like I think both of them can play right now at the next level. Sosa, his tape was phenomenal in terms of Shiner and the Reese's Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm, Senior Bowl.
The fact that he put those back-to-back, and then in the interviews for the Combine, he referred to it as his tour, and he's like, I'm just finishing the tour, talking about the Combine and going through all the reps and everything. He definitely made a name for himself and made himself some money.
And he was being talked about a lot on the broadcast too, the Combine broadcast. Mm-hmm. They were saying he's probably one of the most underrated defensive tackles. And they also mentioned because of the team he played on. We hate to say that, but it is what it is.
No, I mean, so, he wasn't utilized like he should have been. And a lot of times, because of how he was utilized, he was, you know, he was getting doubled and
sometimes tripled,
choked, slammed. Yeah.
Multiple times a game, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw a ref holding him back once a game.
No, no, no. That was the ref getting in front of the Alabama player so the other ref couldn't see it.
Oh.
That's what that was.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I think Sosa will be the first one off the board. Curl, I feel both of them will be the first two, probably Sosa off first. And then somebody is going to find a gym in Scooter. I just can't see that not happening. O'Grady could be a top round pick if he would do what he can all the time.
Really?
But yeah, he's a, yeah, I think he was every bit of Henry.
I mean, there, it,
Hunter
it,
is the word I was looking for. Jesus.
It, I mean, yes, he actually has topped him on the touchdown list at Arkansas. So that's something, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be crisp up with him. And
well, that's his work ethic, though. I'm saying everything's there. I think he could be every bit of what Hunter was and is in the pros if he puts the work in.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, just because, you know, he was suspended 3 times when he was at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy routes. Like, they're mm-hmm. sloppy, man. And
it's but when he was feeling it,
it's a detriment to yourself because you're making your catches harder with your lazy routes. I don't know, man.
I'm saying the potential is there to be every bit. I'm not saying that that's what we saw.
And I think he won't. I mean, he'll be a priority. You know, like a undrafted free agent, want to be the first calls. I think I just don't see a team.
Taking the risk.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a risk at like 6th and 7th round, but I mean, you don't really owe them anything if you call them right after the draft, you know?
You think of the NFL perspective, though, the risk is you just wasted a draft pick on someone you're not sure about as opposed to spending one on someone you think you ain't worried about them being there on the first day type stuff. Right. I mean, there is those little bit of risk. And I mean, when you're talking money, no, but just the draft pick itself. So, yeah, he'd be the day after or something, kind of like, name's escaping me. Skipper, Dan Skipper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think the draft day was over before he got a phone call. So,
toss around from a few teams and try to find himself on a squad, but got to put in that work.
Yep, you got to do it.
Now.
Do we want to talk about the Mason Jones stuff? Me and you disagreed on this today.
I mean, I feel like we co-agreed.
Well, I guess, no, we didn't, because what we're talking about here is Mason Jones just being disrespected for SEC Player of the Year. In my opinion, was the SEC Player of the Year. And then he ends up 3rd on the mentions behind Reggie Perry and was it Quickly or something from Kentucky? And where we disagreed, though, is you said that they're going to look at it from what they did without Isaiah Joe.
Well, that's what you keep hearing. So the source that we're talking about was Saturday Down South, I feel like. But ESPN, all the other talking heads, they keep mentioning, you know, in terms of a tournament seeding, they're going to take into account without Isaiah Joe. So I feel like that would also inadvertently play into awards, and you know, this was more geared to Musselman not getting love either.
Well, that pissed me off. He's not even in the mentions. Yeah. So. I mean, well, that's 2 different conversations that I will gladly have with you, but let's finish the Mason one up first. What you said today, though, was that was kind of the look is the what happened when Joe was out.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. But my argument to that is, yeah, and that's when Jones was putting 30 plus a game.
Was he?
Yeah.
All 5 games.
4 of the 5.
4 of the 5?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have stats, stab me.
He only did in like 1.
Of the 5 he was out?
Yeah. He had like a, what do you have, like a 12 point? He had like a 12 point
game. I knew there was a really bad one.
My argument, so you're trying to just load it because of the stats. Don't make me do this. Do it. Okay, the fact that he just fills up the stats, obviously, because he's the primary scoring threat. Also, my argument was, if he is the SEC Player of the Year, we should win a game, one of those five games, strictly because of Mason Jones, right?
I don't know if that was a hypothetical or a rhetorical, but I disagree wholeheartedly.
Why is that?
Just because you're the leading scorer and the best player doesn't mean that you can carry a team.
I mean, they were close teams or close games, right?
Yeah, they were close games. If you have Joe, you win them, right?
So Isaiah Joe is an SEC Player of the Year.
If he's healthy, I believe both of them could be in the conversation, yes. But we're talking about Mason Jones because he wasn't healthy.
That's all I'm saying is that's the argument against Mason Jones. You've got guys that win games for their team.
Co-best players. Yes, Luke, they should be co-best SEC Players of the Year. I don't agree with the team aspect.
All I am saying is I understand him not winning it because of that.
Because of the five games Joe was out.
They're going to take it. They take into more than just the stats. He's leading in the SEC. Yes, he's the leading scorer, but has he done the same stuff for the team as Perry has? Nah. Perry has been a complete monster sometimes when it comes to it. Overall, across the board. And he also doesn't talk back. Didn't have to be benched.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm on record saying he's going to, and he never has, by the way. He still hasn't done that yet, caused a technical foul, but I don't know. He tried to chew
Musselman's ass on national television. Mm-hmm. Musselman did the right thing, sits him. All that stuff takes into account. Character plays into it.
I don't feel like character plays into it one bit, personally. I mean, if character played into it, my God, names are the Calipari would not ever have been coach of the year if character played into anything like this. But with Joe on the floor, Mason doing what Mason does
is better because the floor is stretched by Isaiah Joe because he can shoot from the parking lot.
Right.
And that's why Witt can shoot. So yeah, again, we discussed Isaiah all this. Joe is the player of the year.
So you think Joe is better player than Mason?
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know if.
Because he is. Overall basketball player, Isaiah Joe is better. Better defender.
Well, okay, better defender. Better ball. But that's, we're kind of, that's better a hard facilitator.
Better shooter. Now, the only thing Mason's probably got the edge on is driving.
Well, Mason can literally score from anywhere. He's got a repertoire.
Okay, Joe.
Joe doesn't make plays happen down low like Mason does.
Doesn't have to.
But if he has to, he can.
His job is Jones, to stretch to four.
Jones can. Well, we're talking about jobs and stuff. Like his assignment, essentially, is what you're talking about. I'm talking about Jones. If he's got an open three, he's going to take it. Mm-hmm. If he needs to drive, he's going to take it. If he's got to do a reverse, he's going to take it. If he's got to do mid-range, he's going to take it. So
you're saying he's a better scorer? I'm saying Isaiah Joe's a better basketball player all around.
Yeah, so Jones is a better scorer. Points go into player of the year. I feel like
you're just spacing it out to now you're making it paint that I'm trying to say Joe is a player of the year. I'm facetiously saying that because your argument is falling into
I understand what you're saying. I mean, if Joe is healthy all year, right, all year, and he continues to do what he's doing, we're probably having a different discussion. But what I'm saying is the fact that Mason went on a mother effing tear there for a while, and he was doing it all. He was rebounding. He was scoring. He had, like Luke pointed out, had a 40-pointer. Did it end at 40 or did it get to 41? Can't remember that. I remember the 40-point game. Joe has never done that, right? But if Joe's there, we never know, because Joe on the court, clearly, by all intents and purposes, the team is better.
Right.
But I'm saying I feel that Mason did everything in his power while Joe was out to keep the team in the games. I mean, we didn't lose, but I think during that stretch, Tennessee was the only multiple or double-digit loss, right, during that stretch?
Yeah, I think so.
So to do what he was doing while Joe was out, with the exception of the 12-point game, I feel like he still had over 20 in the other ones, at least. To not be up there in the top two, I feel like, is a little bit disrespectful.
By Saturday down south.
They're pretty accurate when it comes to SEC stuff. Mm. But, yes, by Saturday down south.
He I'm trying to think. Him and the Kentucky player is probably where I would, but it's real close with Perry because it's what Perry's done for Mississippi State. It's ridiculous. So
he's a monster.
Joe's a high scoring in his career is 34.
34?
Yeah.
So. And he got 28 his first game back. Is that right? Something like that. He got close. Just went off.
Yeah.
But also something I want to discuss with you that I feel like is becoming closer to time. Do you want to make a little bit of our bowl predictions on whether or not they come back?
I mean, I've already said I don't think Joe's coming back.
So my bowl prediction is they both do right now. Lock it in.
Okay. I don't think it's
you that split.
I don't think it's that bold.
You don't think it's bold? Half the freaking country thinks they're leaving.
Because they should, but I mean, I don't
exactly.
I don't think it's that bold. Mason needs to come back and show that he can play grown up ball.
Like keep his cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, it'd probably work out better for him to see if he can play into a different role, because he's not going to have to be the number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
He will be, but, you know, facilitate a little bit more. He's got some good talent coming in and help them out and just start that. Hopefully,
and like I said last recording, I'm hoping Desi Sills is a very key point in what they do next year.
Right.
That dude's a monster. But so,
especially if he get consistent on the three. It looks good.
It's a beautiful, it's a Gafford shot. It's a Gafford three-pointer is what it is. Gafford's shot on the free throw line was absolutely just perfect, and they never went in.
I have a hard time thinking that Isaiah Joe gets his draft grade, and I guess out of two of them, he'd probably be the one to stay. I don't know.
you just flip-flop there.
Yeah, I know. Isaiah Joe, though, it just because I like the guy.
Well, yeah, we want him to stay for 4 years, but we know damn well that ain't happening.
I mean, he gets that he's get that draft grade, and he might have slipped a little bit and be at the bottom of the first round, but
it's kind of a catch 22. He might have slipped because of the injury, so that would make him want to come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the injury might make him think, "Oh damn,
I need to go.
I got injured. I need to go."
Yeah.
So that's kind of big decision. If I were Joe, I would go. That's not on purpose. If I were Jones, meaning think his headspace and everything, I would probably be quite arrogant and think I should go too.
Does Musselman want him back?
Yes, I think so. I feel like the argument on the sideline and everything you addressed a while
it's
ago.
It's all been hashed. I mean, it's not.
Well, yeah, and I feel like in the moment, Musselman's like, oh, hell no, I'm your coach. I've got to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, the kind of guy Musselman is, I feel like he wants a guy like that, you know, fiery and stuff. And Jones has said multiple times how close they are. So if he pulls that off, man, and we got what we got coming in.
He won't have too many toys.
It almost literally a five-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe Sills, I don't see anything funky happening with Sills. He should be coming back with, and when I say that, I mean like not grad or transferring out or anything, but he will have such a discrepancy in lineups, he'll be able to match anybody.
All right. So we haven't really mentioned on that. Obviously, they slipped again and took another loss, but It's got to be NIT at this point. We've said it for, you know, weeks now. Basically, before the
Joe. Are you
Joe
talking
injury.
About just projecting, like the realistic projections? Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, at this point, the tournament's out of the question, I feel like.
Well, all we can do is win the SEC, and then you get that bid. But other than that, I it's weird talking like this because I believe we even said this part too, where us, me and you, we don't want them to go to
right.
the tournament. But as a coach, you know, you try to coach your guys up and get, you know, win the SEC, but I don't see it happening. I honestly don't see them making it past the first round of the SEC tournament.
That's if it was a different tournament. It's the fact that we've seen all these teams before and they've seen us before. Because in terms of being a little funky and being small and all that good stuff, it bodes well for when you have to run a tournament. It really does. Matchups, they got to get a little creative. They have to be, they have to do something different and probably something they haven't came close to having to do all year. Now, eventually you'll run into the one that's just going to be bigger than you.
Shut you down, yep.
That's going to happen. But it works out for a tournament where they haven't seen you before.
Right.
Conference tournament, different deal. They just pull out the old binder and be like, yep, still short. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. One thing different, though, kind of being an optimist here, is Henderson's come along. He's had some pretty good games rebounding.
He's up and down on that, but yeah.
The past two, he's been pretty solid. Anyway,
last game, he had 4 fouls in like 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't watch that. I forgot about that one. Past two, I saw. And then Chaney,
looked terrible sort of last training. Game.
Did it really seem, well, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I didn't get to watch that one. So, well, shit, never mind what I was going to say. We just suck.
Yep. Burn it down.
Take Musselman out. Take Van Horn with him.
Might as well just call the court Stan Heath court.
Oh, God. That's awful. You're proud of that one, too. Look at you.
Yeah, I liked it. In my head, I was going Stan Heath or Pelfrey. I should have said Pelfrey. That would have picked more people off.
That would have been interesting too. But on the women's side, where are you?
Well, at least this team, we ain't gotta worry about it in terms of if they're dancing. They are dancing.
Yeah.
We just excited to see how far. They're on their way to South Carolina for the SEC tournament right now. They got the first round bye. So who are they looking for on the women's side? First game? Who are they playing? Is that one, has that been determined yet?
Oh, hell, I'm not 100% sure on that. Let's see if I'm probably still TBA. Yeah, it's still TBA.
Okay.
Seeding. Yeah, because I believe there's some games today, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably after today it'll all filter out. Also got some awards there. No surprise at all. Lexus Tolfrey, first team all SEC. Hell of a senior year. My goodness. Chelsea Dungy got second team. Are we forgetting anybody?
Amber.
Why Amber not getting no love?
I don't know. I feel like she probably should have been a second teamer at least.
At least, yeah.
She had some games where it is what it is, so.
If you didn't know, Tolfrey told you 21 points one time. I mean, she went off. Yeah, I agree with Luke there. The best three-point shooter on the entire team.
So we would face the winner of game one for the tournament, and that will be Auburn versus Vanderbilt. So that'll be 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Thursday is when we play.
Yep. Wednesday, March 4th, is when it starts, and we play the winner of game one. And then we play Thursday, like we've already said, 25 minutes after the noon game finishes.
So we'll be looking 3:30-ish.
I mean, they go pretty quick, so.
Yeah. And then everybody knows that no one's touching South Carolina.
Yeah.
Right? That team is just stacked, which is why I was annoyed that their coach got coach of the year. Like, well, you better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ain't number one, then what? I mean, you're not a good coach, right?
Right.
Or, I mean, it'd be like, freaking Miami Heat when LeBron and all them was there. Can't remember his name, but he got coached.
But they're there for a reason.
No, she recruited them. Yeah. I understand that. I mean, is Saban still coach of the year every year in the SEC? I don't know. Weird to me. Dungy, did she hit her stride in the tournament, or was it a couple weeks before last year? I feel like it was about a week.
She started heating up a little bit before the tournament, and obviously had her, wrapping it up right now, and she had her career games in the tournament. It's pretty evident with how this year has gone.
Is that?
But again, She pulls a lot of attention because she takes a lot of shots. And
yeah.
She gets attention. That's all I can say on that one.
My question is, especially the second half of the season, did she warrant it?
The attention? No, it should have been to
Tolvrey and Ramirez, right? And even Galdon, when she comes in, I'm a big fan of Galdon. I think she's hell of a six man. And I believe we even talked about that. That she didn't get no recognition for that either.
I think that was kind of a more of a didn't do it a year all year round kind of deal.
And yeah, she
didn't
was.
Didn't really have the opportunity to show it out, but definitely is our sixth man of the year.
Literally, she is the sixth to come off the bench for us as and Arkansas.
Michaela Daniels, that's the future's bright right there.
I saw the, don't quote me, but I think it was Mississippi State's point guard. Was that point guard award? I can't remember. Her best point guard in the league. Mm-hmm. And my initial thought was, well, what the hell? What about Daniels? But we've seen what she's capable of. She's just not really had to pull it out. I think as she progresses, you know, gets, I bet by her junior year, she's going to be a stud. Mm-hmm. Cause she's already went off a few games and it's there. She's definitely capable of it. I feel like her role in the not to be named positions on the team is pretty straightforward right now. Just move the ball and get it to where it needs to go. He'll eventually open her up to start shooting though. I guarantee you that.
And you might have missed out on opportunity to watch this team live this year. Don't do it in the future. For what we've got coming next year, the foundation has been built by Mike Nabors, and we've said it all year round. This isn't your normal women's basketball. It's a different style. It's just a different style of basketball in general. It doesn't matter. Men's or women's, they play a different kind of game, and it's exciting. And I think the rules kind of help with that, and Mike Nabors' style helps as well.
I'm not doing this on purpose, but it's the new fastest 40 on the hill. I mean, really, they move the ball, constantly going. It's, like you said, it's just exciting to watch. I mean, what I love about both of the coaches is they seem to really trust their players. When I say both of men and women's Nabors and Musselman, and they trust their players and they let them shoot. And it's not too often, it's always going to happen, but it's not too often that you see stupid shots from either one of these teams.
Right.
It's very under control chaos. And it is, like you said, that you need to go and support these girls next year and the next, because it's going to be good things are coming on both sides.
Well,
next year. Wait till next year.
Yeah. It feels like that's just the motto of Arkansas, right? So, and it might be a cheap jab here, but wait for it. Oh, wait, no, I guess I guess next year is when Little Rock fans are going to have to wait for football.
He done did it.
Yeah, that's my segue into
Mailbag!
Can you believe we made Andy from Memphis mad?
You know, I can't. I just...
You're surprised by it?
Yeah. You know, he's never said one straight word to either one of us.
Well, let's just hear it from him himself.
It's Andy Memphis. Y'all lucky I'm at work because I'm so mad at y'all, but I can't really yell in my office right now. Y'all got me so, so mad. I ain't even going to worry about what y'all said about hockey. Right, you people from Northwest Arkansas need to realize the game in Little Rock is not about the people in Little Rock. It's not about y'all, stupid. It's about the people like me in Memphis and in South Arkansas. It's about extending your reach and getting lifelong fans. Can you name one great athlete that came from Northwest Arkansas? No. All of them come from Central and South Arkansas, and they're becoming fans of LSU, Ole Miss, Memphis right now. You want to get the best athletes in the state, you got to make it accessible to them. And they don't need to visit the damn school to become a fan. If they can get to a game when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, they'll become a fan and come there anyway, especially if they live in state. But no, the money, I'm crying. Oh, we can't get recruits. Just so mad. It's not about y'all and y'all's games being up in that pretty damn stadium up north. All right? It's about maintaining one state and one team. All right? I'm Andy from Memphis. The vast majority of games I went to were in Little Rock. I became an Arkansas fan because of going to games in Little Rock. I didn't start going to games in Fayetteville until I was almost 20. Okay? So get off y'all's high horse. Arkansas is the most unique anywhere. Okay? Got to keep games in Little Rock.
Andy from Memphis, what do you mean, you people?
Oh,
one man. Razorback, baby.
Man, he didn't get cut off or nothing. He stayed under the 3 minutes. And
he's probably got a timer there now. He gets more pissed when he gets cut off than anything.
Yeah, just not our a fault, watch Andy. Right there. All right.
So go ahead and address the obvious one there, Dylan.
How many you want me to name?
Two.
Two? Just two?
Just two. Just two.
So I can include the River Valley, correct?
Yes, I would say so.
All right, so Matt Jones, Mitch Mustang. I can't do it. I can't do it. Ben Cleveland, Tony Bua. Who else do you need? Anybody else? You know, keep going.
I mean, I'm a pretty big fan of Brandon Allen myself.
Yeah,
but...
Brandon Allen. Austin, even though, you know, people say that.
Yeah,
CJ O'Grady, he's on top of record board. Where's Fayetteville? Oh, man. Yeah, geez. Yeah. Where's Fayetteville at? Oh, it's right there, right next to the stadium. Let's go.
Andy, man, honestly, I mean, seriously here, with all the kidding aside, the you people Andy. Thing, I love Andy, but the you people thing is what's wrong with having a damn stadium in Little Rock.
It
separates the stadium, the state. What I don't understand too is you really, really, really love you some Mike Norvell. So why didn't you just stay in Memphis? No, I'm kidding, because we love Andy. But, the you people is what stood out. I'm not triggered. Let me point that out. It just it points to the issue with the stadium. And the recruits do matter. The recruits absolutely matter.
Mm-hmm.
To say they don't is kind of careless. So,
well, what matters in this case is that we have to abide by a bylaws that's given to us by the lovely organization that is the NCAA, and we have to stay within those bylaws for the most part, unless you're some other programs, which we mentioned on last episode when we talked about most vacated wins. You can go back and listen to that one if you want to. But...
And money.
That's
what it comes down to.
And yes, there's still money in Little Rock, so don't hit me with that argument, because I know... You know, it's there, but it's completely different when it comes to Northwest. So, again, in order to be official and be able to have official visits, that's where we need to be, is in Fayetteville, have recruits in Fayetteville, where the facilities are, where they're going to be learning, where they're going to be living.
And that fancy stadium that he pointed out that is up here in yours truly, Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Attracts kids. Like they gotta see the advanced facilities to want to come here, or to entice them to come here, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just because you're in Arkansas, we have painfully learned, or especially the past decade, doesn't mean you're coming to Arkansas. You've got to be able to get them there. I don't know. Also, Andy, where do you work? I don't picture you as an office guy. I picture you as
school, man. He's a school.
Is he a school teacher too?
I believe so.
He said
he didn't want me to talk no leprechaun lingo for you because TikTok's dumb and
hear students
kids talking
right.
about it. Yeah. So
I'm not going to read all this, Andy, because your first line is, "All right, boys, I have calmed down from my last call and text." So thank you for that. He's talking about a coach's clinic. It's a good distraction, you know, from watching the Razorback stuff. Talks about he's not worried about the baseball team. I think we agree. Talked about that. But then, lastly, to bring it back around from listening to the coaches this weekend, Jordan, I'm telling you once again, Mike Norvell will win a national title at Florida State within the next 5 to 8 years. The fact that you think he will be there in the next 5 to 8 years is laughable to me. That's all I'll say about that. weird shot that you brought him back up. I know that's a, it's kind of our tit for tat, me and you do, and always enjoy it, but just, he's all the way on the East Coast now. I don't give a shit about him. So let's just move on from that because he will not be in Florida State.
That's adorable. This little thing you got.
The little tit for tat we do.
Oh man. I enjoy it. What else you got for us while we close it out?
Support the Lady Razorbacks this week. It's possibly still an SEC win, man. And get off of the Fire Van Horn shit. Come on now.
Please. Watch you some SEC tournament, women's basketball tournament later this week. This should be some good. Maybe we can bottle up some mojo that we had last year. Who knows? Maybe someone can knock off South Carolina for us. But if we got to, we'll do it. So for the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
And I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke. Until next time, and as always, woo, pig, silly. Sometimes I take it to extreme. Game day comes around, you'll see a little pride on my face. 'Cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl won't be hung.